Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to Chai Chat, and welcome to the 89th day of the year, by the way. If you are new, welcome. Glad to have you listening in this morning. And if you are returning, so glad to have you back. You know that our show is dedicated, every month, we're dedicated to transforming our worlds at work. So we are doing our best to help make our work environments more engaging, more productive, more fun. And I am Mary Rockenstein. My company is Leadership Edge Solutions. And joining me, as always, is my co-host, Victoria Vitier with Enlightened Life Coaching. Victoria, how are you?
I'm well on this beautiful spring morning. Yes, yes. Very nice.
You didn't eat too many marshmallow peeps or Easter chocolate bunnies over the weekend,
no,
I take it?
No, no. My inner kid can't eat peeps. It's a whole sort of personification
thing. Well, my inner kid
thing.
Can't eat them either, but they're fun to put in the microwave with toothpicks, you know, and do the rock
well,
and
exactly.
Sock robot thing.
Well, you know, and chocolate becomes a food group in the holiday. So, yeah. So, yes,
yeah.
I did imbibe. Yeah.
Yes,
and,
exactly.
And I'm so happy to be, you know, doing the second half of this topic with you. This is a juicy topic. Talk about juicy. Yeah.
It is. It is, you know, it's such an important topic. And again, if you listened to our show 2 weeks ago, we introduced transactional analysis, which is just kind of a fancy way of talking about our internal ego states. And before we, you know, embark upon today's journey and what we're going to do, Victoria, why don't you kind of bring everybody up to speed on some of the information that we talked about last time?
Okie dokie. Dr. Eric Byrne was somebody who, you know, a few decades ago proposed a body of theory called transactional analysis, and it had a lot to do with, you know, helping people to understand why they act like they do, basically. And he proposed that there are three main ego states. One is called the parent ego state, which can either appear as nurturing or critical and controlling. Another one is the adult ego state, which is basically our executive functioning and sort of neutral emotionally. And the other one is child ego state, which can either appear as childlike or childish. I, however, also have added a teen ego state, which is sort of a more something between child and adult, which we often find ourselves in. So we'll be sort of showing you how all these work here in a little minute. But these ego states are very important in understanding, you know, when we go through our day-to-day lives, we often don't understand why we act the way we do or why other people act the way they do. And short of going, you know, back to school for another degree in psychology, we're here to tell you that we're going to help you, you know, break this down, and we're going to decipher it for you so you understand a lot better what's going on and what to do about functioning in a more appropriate ego state more of the time. Right, Mary?
Absolutely. And
yeah.
Thank you for doing that, Victoria. That was a good, I think, a good summary of what we talked about. And if you've listened in to our shows before, you know that typically at the end of every show, Victoria does what she calls, it's not a homework assignment, but it's a home play, right? And
yeah.
So you did at the end of the last show, and I'm kind of curious because what you challenged everybody that was listening in or listening in on archive to do was to really listen to some of the conversations going on around you, you know, over the next few weeks, and to try to identify what ego states people were talking from, and then what was the response, and particularly focus on yourself and really look at, hey, you know what, somebody just, you know, communicated to me from a controlling parent state, and I found myself kind of getting a little ticked off, and I was ready to respond as a teen or a rebellious child, but I caught myself, you know. So are you aware of what, you know, some of those triggers are? So I'm curious, Victoria, because I think you and I try to make it a point to, you know, do those exercises as well, or the home plays, as you call it. So did you do your home play assignment? And I'm kind of curious, were you surprised about anything that you learned about yourself or about others in the last couple weeks regarding ego states?
Well, again, yes, yes, yes. And, you know, the thing of it is you hardly have to think about this stuff. It happens to you. You know, I mean, this kind of thing that we're talking about here, these sorts of interactions where people sort of slip out of gear, slip out of neutral, you know, and kind of go into these, you know, sort of regressed, as we call it in psychobabble land, ego states, is something that happens all day long, you know, in shades of gray all over our life. And so they kind of appear. And, you know, just to give an example, last Friday, Good Friday, you know, I was at my office space, a collective office space, and it's sort of interesting because one of my colleagues actually must have been in a strange mood that day, but as I was doing something, I sort of got scolded by my colleague, and I stood there and thought, am I really hearing what I'm hearing? This is really strange.
Wow.
Yeah, it was, you know, and again, the controlling parent ego state can emanate from someone in not just controlling, but critical. So when somebody's being sort of, you know, vehemently critical toward you in some way, and you're going, wow, there shouldn't be any emotion to this. This is sort of an adult conversation. What's going on? The minute you feel a visceral response or something doesn't add up, you know that somebody has slipped out of gear. Now, the trick is, what do you do if you're triggered by the fact that they just slipped out of gear? Because it's very easy to become, you know, sort of righteously angry and react to somebody
yeah.
who appears to be scolding you. And so, you know, what I did in that moment was go, gee, this is really weird. I don't like how this feels. I'm, you know, going to handle this in the best way I know how. And oftentimes, you know, we'll talk a little bit later about ways to handle it. You have a lot of choices in what you do in that moment. And the key to all of this is to be able to do inside yourself something called self-parenting, and we'll talk more about that later in the show, too. So I was able to self-parent enough to get myself out of the situation and then respond later in an email with some of my responses to the situation and how, you know, I felt it was inappropriate. So, yeah, I mean, things happen, even with the best meaning adult colleagues, that they will flip into someplace that you don't understand where they're coming from, and it sure doesn't feel good.
Yeah, I'm sorry for that, you know, that experience that you had, but that really is, that's a great example. I had one kind of similar. I was in a meeting with a client, and there was someone who was participating in the meeting who went from 0 to 80 in terms of way controlling parent and was mm-hmm. very domineering, very argumentative, just nasty. And it was interesting because I was sitting in a meeting and I kind of looked around the room and there was someone sitting next to me who just, I mean, his childlike or rebellious teen came out and he didn't say anything out loud, but I could hear him mumbling under his breath and he was furious. I mean, he was absolutely
mm-hmm.
furious.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I can think of another example in a company. Again, I was sitting in a client meeting and the head of the company was was fluctuating back and forth between – he was using his parent ego. That's the only ego state that I could tell that he was in during the entire meeting, and fluctuated from controlling to nurturing. So you can
mm-hmm.
imagine that
mm-hmm.
there really wasn't healthy discussion. The decisions that were made weren't collaborative.
Mm-hmm.
It was dad at the helm telling everybody,
mm-hmm.
asking
mm-hmm.
for suggestions, but not really – and it was just so dysfunctional. I mean, I walked away and I thought, wow, I can only imagine how awesome this organization would be if people really were more in the neutral zone or the adult-to-adult ego states. But I didn't see a lot of that, I got to tell you. I don't know if that's good, bad, or indifferent, but in my world, I didn't see a lot of that happening.
Well, and the interesting thing is that many businesses and companies spend probably about 75% of their time in meetings.
Yeah.
So if meetings, and, you know, I often say I think people are like meeting to meet, you know, anymore. I'm not sure there's much traction in these meetings, but there certainly isn't much traction, much healthy traction in meetings where there is an inappropriate ego state loose in the room.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Which is what you just described.
Yeah, and as we talked about last week, too, because we're going to get into something a little bit different that we've not done, at least on one of our shows before, some role-playing. But before we do that, you know, one of the things I think you mentioned in our last show, which is really important, Victoria, and that is, you know, when someone is moving or transitioning into one of these ego states, regardless of whether it's parent, adult, child, or teen,
It doesn't always have to be verbal communication. Sometimes nonverbal also communicates our ego state, right? Body language, gestures.
That's right. In fact, if any of you, I had a lot of fun, by the way, picking the slides out for the for these two ego state chefs. So if you guys watch the slides that are going by, I think you'll have to chuckle. But there's one where there's sort of a rebellious teen ego state where the woman has her head turned to the side and her hand straight up to the camera. So, you know, yes, there can be talk to the hand, there can be the eye roll. These are some of the ones used by the teen, a rebellious teen or aloof teen ego state that you won't hear necessarily. They're not verbal, but they're very, very clear in their nonverbal communication.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, you mentioned a little while ago, and you're so correct, that ego states happen all day long, which they do. And, you know, as I like to say, our ego states are always at work, and particularly when we're at work, and that's kind of where we got the show title from. So, as we've talked about earlier, you know, depending upon which ego state we use when we're communicating, we might get a response that is unexpected, unwanted, or unanticipated, just because sometimes we don't realize, again, oops, I've slipped into, you know, a childish state or a teen state when, in fact, I really wanted to communicate from an adult-like state. So we're going to have some fun here for a few minutes, and we're actually going to go through some role plays, right, Victoria?
Yeah, we're going to do our best, folks, so bear with us.
We are not going to be up for an Academy Award, I'm quite sure, but we're going to have fun. And really, you know, the reason why we're doing this is because I believe, you know, I talk about transactional analysis quite frequently with a number of my clients, and I always kind of get this, what are you talking about? And then when I get into, well, it's ego state, I still get this, what are you talking about? So, you know, whether you love role-playing or hate it, it's really one of the best ways, I think, to model certain types of social constructs and concepts. So here we go. We're going to start with the first one here. So,
see if you can guess before we break it down for you. See if you can guess.
Yeah, before we break it down, just
here.
You know, jot down and see how accurate you are in terms of, I know what that ego state was. So here we go. I'm going to start.
Okay.
I don't think you heard me. Do it this way.
Look, the guy in the next office heard you. I'm just not feeling it your way. I got this.
Okay, listeners. So, I was trying to exemplify really the controlling or domineering parent. And as you heard Victoria respond, it's unless, again, you know what your trigger is when you hear that, sometimes it's hard to respond in an adult ego state. And, Victoria, how did you respond? What was the ego state?
Well, I was a sort of snarky, rebellious teen that I could muster.
Yeah, and you did a good job of that, I might add. So, okay,
oh,
good.
Thank you so
all right.
Much.
Here's another one. You think you're always right, and I, honestly, Victoria, I'm getting a little sick of it.
You know I'm always right, so you just better get used to it.
We really didn't rehearse these, so I have no idea what she's going to say here. But I was being the snippy, rebellious child or childish, right? And again, how many times have you heard people say this? These aren't just things that, you know, we made up in a vacuum. I actually hear people talking like this and communicating like this in work environments.
Yeah.
And then you responded how, Victoria?
I responded as a rebellious child. So it was sort of like in the sandbox. You throw sand at me, I'll throw sand at you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right, here's another one. Well, I don't seem to know anything, so why don't you just tell me the answer?
Well, I'm glad to see that you are on board finally with my direction. Here's the sequence. Here, you might want to write it down.
Okay. So I was trying to role play the teen, you know, the attitudinal kind of teen. And how did you respond, Victoria?
As the controlling parent, get out your little pencil, write it down. I'm going to tell you exactly what to do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. We're ready for a couple of more, Victoria.
And, well, hopefully, you know, as we did these three, you know, these for you, you could hopefully out there in listener land, you started to feel yourself react. You know, when Mary, you know, first came out with her piece of the role play, you hopefully you had a little bit of a gut response that went, ugh, you know, that didn't feel too good. Yeah, and that's the inner cue here. That's how you become sort of psychologically savvy, and you're able to even notice before something that you don't want to fly out of your mouth flies out of your mouth, you go, ooh, that felt weird. The minute you get a that felt weird, you know that somehow or another someone has slipped out of gear in the ego state department. And so that's where, you know, we're going to help you learn how to, a little bit in a minute here, learn how to deal with these. So now we're going to do two more, right, Mary?
Yeah, we are. Okay, so here we go. Here's the next one. Victoria, you always have great ideas. What suggestions do you have?
Well, I got out my crayons. I found them in my top desk drawer. And I made so many pictures. I'm telling you right now, it's just amazing. Here, look at this.
All righty then. Well, we may be up for an Oscar. I don't know. But here we go. So I was trying, and it's hard, you know, just on the phone because you can't see my facial expressions, but trying to be more of the nurturing parent, right? And so
yes.
You responded how?
How fun. I got to play with my crayons. Look at all the pictures I made and all the ideas I came up with. Childlike.
Childlike,
which
absolutely.
Which
all right.
is wonderful. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Here's the last one. Victoria, I'd really like to hear your thoughts on the subject.
Wow. Sure. Thanks for asking for my input. I appreciate that.
Okay. So
that one's adult
to
adult.
I was trying to communicate from an adult or neutral ego state. And how did you respond?
Just like eyeball to eyeball, like an adult. Gee, I felt acknowledged. You know, thanks very much. You know, for asking
but
for my input.
But you know something, and I'm gonna call this out because I what I heard was initially you got into adult, but what I heard initially was childlike, because when you hear people say things like, "Gee, wow, golly," that's childlike response, right?
Absolutely, it is.
So,
mm-hmm.
you, but that was interesting. Again, we didn't plan this, but you started out childlike and then moved into an adult ego state.
Well,
pretty
and
cool.
And here's the deal. The last two that we did, nurturing parent, childlike, and adult, childlike, moving into adult, are two that are really, really adaptive. These ego states are not evil places. These ego states are places that we are unhealed and we often respond to triggers. But they're also places where some of the best parts of ourselves can come out. There are times when it's really appropriate to be nurturing to a colleague. It's really appropriate to come out with these wonderful, brilliant, creative ideas spontaneously and be excited and gleeful about it. That's a child. That's a childlike response. And so these can be very, very beautiful ego states that work wonderfully with one another. It's not all a maladaptive mess, right, Mary?
Yeah. In fact, I'm going to start with where you left off in terms of the childlike state. You know, I worked in two different creative environments where, you know, creativity, unfortunately, is something that a lot of us forget that we once were creative. And there's a really good book called Orbiting the Giant Hairball. Gordon McKenzie was the author, and in it he tells a little story about he used to go out and speak to schools. And when he would speak to first graders and he would ask them, how many of you are creative? You know, everybody's hand would go up. Then he'd go to third grade. How many of you are creative? And maybe only half the hands went up. And by the time he got to the sixth grade class, only one or two hands went up, and it was really reluctantly. You know, everybody was kind of looking around like, oh, you know, should I raise my hand? Yeah, really sad. So in a creative environment in particular, or if you're in just a general business environment and you're really in a major problem-solving mode, creativity is your best friend. So sometimes the best way to bring that out is to be that nurturing parent in a meeting and allow people to regress or go back to that childlike state. I think that can be really, really positive. You know, similarly, though, I'm going to flip to the controlling parent because I don't know about you, Victoria, but I have, in a work environment, I've been in a couple of what I would call crisis situations, and boy, you better hope you've got that domineering, controlling parent kind of barking and directing and telling people what to do, and there are instances where that's absolutely, if it's a life-or-death situation, you really want that, right?
Well, absolutely, and even short of a life and death situation, rather than being, you know, sort of a barking, controlling parent, somebody who takes charge and is decisive. It's kind of like, you know, parenting. Sometimes you have to set limits, you know. You set limits respectfully, but you know for the best, you know, highest interest and safety of your child, you have to set these limits, and you have to be directive, and you have to be decisive. And so in situations at work a lot of times where their push comes to shove for some reason, a good leader is a leader who's able to step into this sort of take charge, decisive sort of respectful, though, format with the people in their charge. Right, Mary?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one of the ego states we didn't really talk a lot about yet in terms of does it have a place in conversation, and that's teen. And, you know, a subject that you and I have personally talked a lot about, in fact, I'm writing my book about that topic, and that'll be out this year, is about bullying. And I could see where the teen ego state might be helpful if you are a victim of bullying. Would you agree?
Well, absolutely. We're going to devote, like Mary said, because this is a really important topic. But when you are being, and it could be said that, you know, what I experienced this past week, you know, was some, you know, critical. It could have even touched on, you know, mild bullying. And the fact is, when you feel that you are being dealt with in a way that somebody is kind of, you know, in your face, so to speak, about something, the fact is that it is righteous, you know, there's righteous anger here. And there's a healthy part of your ego to feel, hey, wait a minute, I'm not going to be a doormat. There is a way to handle this, and we'll talk about this in a minute, better ways, more adaptive ways to handle this than others. But it is important, and it is a healthy ego that tells you something's wrong here. I'm going to protect myself.
And I think of all of the education that we have provided our listeners, I really do think, and you kind of opened the door, so I'm hoping you will go through that next, is what should we do and how should we handle situations when an ego state comes across in a way that it just doesn't feel good to us.
Absolutely. Before I go into these, let me just say that one of the most important things that you can do is learn how to parent yourself and understand and recognize these ego states. Once you do, it makes this a whole lot easier. So the different ways that you can handle it, and one is to be silent and not respond in the moment, because when you are royally triggered about something, chances are you're not going to respond, you're going to react. Hence, you're going to be in a negative ego state, off balance, out of gear, and it won't be pretty. And it's not going to lead anywhere adaptive at all for you to react to somebody who's just reacted to you. So the best thing sometimes to do is to be silent, not respond, and just realize that you've been triggered and that there's something visceral going on for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then go ahead. Do you want me to go through the rest of
the
scenario?
Yeah, why don't you? That
okay.
would be good.
And so at some points you have been, you know, transgressed in some way, and you're recognizing that you've got anger going on inside, or you feel somehow resentful of how you're being treated. Well, that's appropriate too. And you're allowed to be upset. You're supposed to be upset if something has been disrespectfully delivered to you. The fact is, you need to take a moment, and sometimes it's important to even walk away. And the appropriate way to walk away is to announce a timeout, like, geez, I just have to think about this, you know, or to literally say nothing and walk away if you're royally triggered and you can't even say, you know, have the wherewithal to say, hey, I need a break. It's okay to walk away from a situation that you are not equipped to handle in that moment in an adult way. When you're ready to respond. Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to share just a quick example. It really just didn't occur to me till right now, but it was actually in a meeting about 3-4 years ago when the CEO absolutely did that. He got up and exited a meeting right in the middle of the meeting because somebody said something to him that just set him off. And he came back in later and apologized, but said, I needed to leave the meeting because I was really afraid of what I was going to say had I stayed in the room. So, yeah, I mean, I applaud, and we all did. We all told him later, good for you for doing that. That was, you know, great.
Yeah.
You know, we're so proud of you. But
yeah.
It really does work. It does.
Well, and that person was courageous enough to self-parent and wise enough to self-parent. Yeah, absolutely. And that takes somebody who's pretty mature. And that's what I'm saying. These things, you got to do some internal work to come to the point where in the midst of the battle, you know, in the middle of the fracas, you know, you can do something that is really appropriate and not an inappropriate reaction. So when you're ready to respond, like this person did, walk back into the room and respond from an adult ego state, which he did, which was really, really good. And people appreciated that. Another way that you can respond to somebody who's triggering you is to mirror or do reflective listening. Now, mirror doesn't mean throw sand back in their face, but it means saying something like, gee, you know, you really sound kind of upset right now. I'm wondering, you know, what about this is causing you to react this way. So, again, you know, you don't take the brunt of it, but you basically reflect to the person, hey, if I held a mirror up to you, I think you'd be surprised by what you're seeing in yourself right now. So it's really appropriate a lot of times, again, if you have the wherewithal and it feels appropriate to say, gee, you really sound like you're pretty triggered by this topic. And again, just leave it there and let that person have the opportunity to own and get back on their footing again. Because if somebody is reacting in a regressed ego state, they don't realize it either. And sometimes doing reflective listening grounds them. Yeah.
It reminds me of some of the old comedy sitcoms where they were kind of making fun of, but still bringing light to, you know, couples therapy. You know, well, I didn't say that. That's exactly what you said.
Exactly.
That's how you said
exactly.
it. It really does make a difference. It does.
Well,
yeah.
And reflective, listen, we all know, we've all played the telephone game where, you know, somebody whispers something to the next person,
mm-hmm.
to the next person. That by the end of the row, it's not even the same sentence that it started out to be. But
yeah.
if everybody
yeah.
did reflective listening, by the time it got to the end, it would be the same sentence.
Yeah.
Because we're checking. So, you know, some of these are really important basic skills to be able to do. And this isn't as complicated as it sounds. The main piece here is to be able to listen to what's going on and own that you are responsible for your own self-parenting. I've got on my website, enlightenedlifecoaching.com, on the radio show page, there is a show that I did a number of years ago called The Art of Self-Parenting. I want to direct you guys, anybody who's interested in this topic, to dig in a little more and learn how to parent yourself better, because this is going to serve you in every single relationship you have, is to take a listen to that show. It's about an hour long. It was an interview I did with a colleague a couple of years ago. But again, that's a very, really information-rich show to listen to. So that can be part of your home play. How about that, everybody? How's that?
Yeah, there you go. And speaking of home
yeah.
play, I'm going to walk them into that. But, one other word that comes to mind, though, I think it's an exercise also in self-control. I think self-parenting is good terminology, but I also think it just reflects on one's ability to, you know, control yourself. It's really what it's about. It's identifying your triggers, but then controlling. So here's some thoughts for the next couple of weeks and until we talk to you again on our next show. You know, really, and it's kind of a play on what Victoria challenged you to do, what the home play was 2 weeks ago, and that is to really start to get your antenna up and pay attention to the conversations that are happening around you. And certainly work provides, I think, a lot of opportunity for this exercise, home, church, you know, wherever your journey in life takes you, really start to pay attention to what people are saying and how they're saying it. See if you can start to identify, you know, the ego states that the communicator is in, and then watch and listen to how the person responds and see if you don't start to see, hey, there's just a natural tendency for people to access their rebellious or childlike state or teen
mm-hmm.
state when somebody's speaking to them from a controlling parent. See if you can start to pick that up and see if you can start to notice when there actually are adult-to-adult states happening. So Victoria and I are both big fans of journaling, and I would just encourage you to, you know, take some notes and quite frankly, call yourself out too. If you were in a meeting or in a conversation and, you know, you walk away and you think, gosh, that's not really what I wanted to say, don't beat yourself up. Just take a moment and say, you know, this is kind of what happened, and that was a trigger. I didn't stop and reflect and think. I just naturally lashed out or said something I regret or what have you, because I think noticing self-awareness is really, it's half the battle. I really believe that. You have to start to be aware of it in order to practice some of the steps that Victoria talked about earlier. Right,
and the other important, absolutely. And the other important thing I want to point out here is that all of us have a history, and we have all had times and places in our lives where we have felt hurt, and there are spots of our lives where we have not been healed completely. And so being able to kind of look at these situations and go back and be able to nurture ourselves and be able to really call ourselves to a higher order of our functioning is how you heal. And it's how we make relationships better in this world. And it's how, you know, when we broaden this out, it's how we create more world peace.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
this is the seed of what it is that creates unrest in the world.
Absolutely.
So,
and
yeah,
I'm sorry to be the conscience of the time, but we are almost out of time. So what are we doing next?
Hey, we're doing cool stuff. April shows, we're going to move into generations at work. We're going to talk about generations and cohort groups and all this great millennial stuff, so it's going to be really juicy in April. We're also going to talk in May, Mother's Day month, about gender at work. So that's going to be a cool show, two shows, actually. We're going to look at gender in May. In June, we're going to look at emotional intelligence. July, we're going to look at communications, and then who knows what we're going to do. So anyway, we've got some really juicy, juicy shows coming up here. So please follow us so you don't miss any shows, and share with everybody that you know if you heard something here that can be helpful to someone. And if it was helpful to you, probably it can.
Indeed.
All right, Mary. I think I wrapped it up.
All right. Have a good week, everyone.
Hey, everybody. Take care. See you next month. Bye-bye.